The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have John Wilner from Wilner Hotline, all things around the Pac-12, including USC blowing out Clay Helton. And who's the hot name? I'm Aaron James Franklin at Penn State. What does it mean for Arizona State? Because I'm of the opinion Herm Edwards will not be back at the end of this season, whether it's by his choice or not. And ASU is going to be in the coaching market and the sanctions that are coming at some point. So a lot to get to with John Wilner. And then Eric Sorensen is going to jump in, senior executive vice president of nothing of this company. Eric was the only person that I know that did the triple this weekend. The triple was he was on the sidelines for the Hamilton game working for us. Saturday, he went as a fan to NAU, U of A, NAU beating the Wildcats. And, man, if you're a Wildcat fan, what a joke. And then Sunday, he covered the Cardinals-Vikings game, which came down to the final play. So that dude saw some sports. And I was out in Provo at BYU, so I didn't see all these. I did see the Cardinal game yesterday, but not in person. So I want to have Eric jump on. That is all coming up on the show. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Before I get into the Cardinals, well, you know, I'll do the Cardinals first, and then I'll go to Spurge. Spurge is going to be with us in a minute, Jordan Spurgeon, because he was down in Tucson. I have questions about what happened there, but let's get into the Cardinals first. So, look, here's the thing. They got really lucky. That's part of what happens during the course of an NFL season. That's a field goal that kicker probably makes 9 out of 10 times. So for those that say, well, the Cardinals aren't very good and all that stuff, they're 2-0. So just breathe a little bit. They have a total trap game this week at Jacksonville. Total trap. I've not seen the line. I'm guessing it's double digit. And this is a game where you fly cross country at the 10 a.m. start. They're going to make a big deal out of. Jacksonville's not any good, and they just had this emotional victory and all that stuff. Total trap game. But, yeah, there's some things. Like, where was DeAndre Hopkins as the game progressed? Where was he? I'm watching, and if Kyler takes that many hits, then Kyler's not going to make it through this season. He is a lot of fun to watch. There's no question about it. He's gotten better and better and better. There are things that have to get cleaned up. Their start yesterday was awful with a capital A. Just was. Two plays in, they're down 7-0. False start. Penalty. Same things have happened 2 weeks in a row. So being lucky is part of sports. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams are the ones that don't win those games. I don't know where the Vikings are. They lost in overtime to the Bungles. And now they end up losing a game on a kick. So they're 0-2. And they're not feeling good about themselves. 2-0 here in Arizona. I'll take it. It's not a problem. All right, the college end. I'll get into ASU in a minute, but I want to have Spurge come on board now. Jordan Spurgeon, part of the team. You see it there over his shoulder, Bleacher Talk at Spurge. He and Claudia Faust do Bleacher Talk every Wednesday at this time on our high school football platform. You guys have been at it a couple of weeks. Show looks great. You guys are having a lot of fun screwing around. But I want to get into what the heck happened. So you volunteered. I want to go to NAU U of A. And you and I are talking during the week about there's a story either way. U of A is going to break this losing skid. NAU comes down there. You never know. So what happened? Because the game I was at, BYU-ASU, was a train wreck in the wrong way. ASU was just terrible. They were pathetic. I've not seen a team as poorly played and coached on every front as Arizona State was. So what happened on your story?
Honestly, somewhat of a similar story. It started on the first drive of the game. I'm like, okay, Will Plummer's here. He's getting a start. They're probably going to go down the field and score. And NAU forces them to go 3-and-out. And I'm like, okay, that's a little bit weird that you're coming out 3-and-out after a week of preparing for NAU when you're 26.5-point favorites. And then throughout the first and second quarter, Arizona finally got hot, got held to a field goal or two field goals, and they scored one touchdown. And then I started noticing they were being penalized a lot. They were committing a lot of dumb penalties, late hits, holding penalties, all of that. And NAU wasn't. There wasn't a single penalty on them the entire first half. They played clean football despite getting manhandled by size. And so when Brady Shuck, who's from Hamilton High School, and his brother Tyler plays over there at Texas Tech, gets a pick six, all of a sudden it's 13-7 heading into half. And you're thinking, okay, Arizona's probably going to come out and beat them down in the second half. I went ahead and wrote a column at halftime. I was like, you know what? I just want to write it. I got video stuff to do after. Let's see what it is. I'll put in the final score and go from there. I already kind of ripped on, you know, oh, it was a bad first half. Maybe the second half they took off. And then we get there in the second half, and Arizona again, they come out, quick touchdown. I'm like, okay, maybe they have a chance here. And then NAU just locked in. And again, no penalties. Arizona, a couple dumb penalties, a couple bad turnovers.
They kept changing quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Arizona started with Will Plummer. They finished with Jordan McLeod. He looked good at the end. NAU went to three quarterbacks. So that's what I skipped in the first half. Yeah, their first guy come in, threw a pick. He was out. Then you have the second guy come in, got a little bit banged up, took a couple big hits. And then RJ, their quarterback from Texas, he was scheduled to come in the second quarter. I found out after the game. Comes in and just looked the part. He's a freshman kid out of Texas, and he's kind of been getting his feet under him in practice a little bit. Coach hasn't had a lot of confidence in his ability yet, but that game, he just – something clicked for him, and it worked out for NAU. He just managed the game. He didn't make any mistakes. I think he threw one pick in the fourth, kind of just a random bad play where it went off the receiver's hand, but other than that, he played really well.
Okay, so I watched your video from down there. You're running out onto the field, and the players for NAU are going crazy. I have to wonder, were the U of A fans that were there booing? Because after all the buildup of Jed Fish, well, I mean, this is – it's just an embarrassment. They've got Oregon this week, and the line is 25, I think, and that seems light. And – so they're not going to win that game. And then they have bye, and they might lose the bye week. And then they have UCLA. I don't see where there's a win that's coming. So were the natives restless there in Tucson?
Yeah, they weren't having it. The boos came out in the fourth quarter. Bunch of boo birds. I was there also with our intern, Amanda. She was there for Cronkite News, and her story was the state of Arizona. So I was going to help her grab fans after the game, and none of them wanted to talk. They said, if I talk, you're just going to bleep everything out. That's we were looking for people that you could just tell are the diehard fans, the booster type people. None of them wanted to talk. That idea got scrapped because they were pissed. They were really pissed about it. And that's a big reason why. I think a lot of people were like, this is the one game we're supposed to win. We know it's a rebuild, but if we have another winless season, back-to-back years, it's hard to sell a rebuild. And that's kind of the energy I got there. And then I was in Fish's press conference for the first few minutes before running down to NAU because there was only three of us there in the NAU press conference. I didn't want to miss that. And he just walked in. You could just tell it was, well, here we go. And then his press conference lasted like 45 minutes, just everyone ripping into him.
They should. So you just got off a Zoom a few minutes ago with Chris Ball up at NAU for a Monday. What did he have to say about this? Because I like Chris Ball, and he was at Arizona State. People forget that he was here. And, yeah, Montana beat Washington earlier this year to set the precedent that FCSs can take down the big bad back in the day Pac-12. But for Chris Ball and NAU, this has got to be something that you wonder, can they push through this and take it to another level?
So, yeah, it's twofold. He said, obviously, very excited the players have an extra pep in their step, and now they're ready to go after the Big Sky because he says, you know, this win's great. I'd love to celebrate it. He joked, you know, he would have liked to crack a cold one with his coaches on Saturday night. Couldn't do it late night, get back at 4 a.m. But their goal is still to win the Big Sky. This game has no impact on that other than putting a target on their shoulder or on their back. And then he mentioned his time at ASU and kind of the end of the press conference. Something you talk a lot about was, hey, we recruit the crap out of the state of Arizona. When I was at ASU, we did a terrible job of it. He says Arizona hasn't done that great. He thinks Jed Fish is going to do a great job so far based on what he's seen. He knows it takes time, but he was very much into that. He goes, listen, we have a lot of guys that feel they're FBS players that didn't get a single look from anyone in this state besides us. And we're happy to have them. And that's kind of been the message of Chris Paul. And he was, you know, point blank talking about that's what we do. We focus on Arizona. We get a few guys from other states. We're completely bought in on Arizona. You look on Saturdays, they're all over the country, a premier program. So if we can get some of those guys going to those same schools, playing with those guys that maybe aren't getting the looks and bring them here. That's going to be the way to build success and become a national powerhouse in the FCS. Cause that's what he's trying to build. And he thinks he can do it with Arizona players.
All right. Good stuff, man. What do you guys have on your show this week for Bleacher Talk? Can you give it up or you still?
Yeah, a little bit this week. We got obviously our quick picks with Bruce Cooper and some social spotlight. And
yeah, Coop is on this show. If you guys don't know, Coop not only gives us some things on Friday nights, but Bruce Cooper is a big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. And so you guys have some fun with him on Wednesdays.
Yeah, a lot of fun with Coop. We're still trailing Claudia. I think she's undefeated still at 9-0, so we're trying to catch up on the quick picks. So me and him are trying to find ways to do that. It's going to be fun. Yeah, and then over at Horizon, they're off to a good start. So we got Andy Litton coming on to chat about what's going on up there in Scottsdale, because they're just killing it, and they look like an open division team so far.
Yeah, they're going to play Saguaro here in about a month, and that'll be fun. All right, good job there, Spurge. There's Jordan Spurgeon. See you, man. Have a good day. Spurge, for a couple of minutes. You got it. A couple other things here. So Claudia and I, on Friday night, our trip to Provo, let's just go through this. So we had like three stories that we wanted to shoot. Whenever we go out on the road, people are, oh, that's cool, you guys are traveling with Arizona State. No, it's if you can find a bunch of things to do. So Friday night, we went to a high school in outside of Provo. Corner Canyon High School was playing, and their quarterback was Devin Brown, who played here at Queen Creek. And he's committed to USC. USC last week pulls the plug on Clay Helton. So Arizona State calls him on Thursday. Arizona State invites him to the game on Saturday. Arizona State went to watch him play on Friday night. But he had already accepted an invite to go as BYU's guest. So he was at the BYU game. Watched him play. He could be the next quarterback if he decides to go to ASU to replace Jaden Daniels. He just looks the part. I'll be honest, when I saw him at Queen Creek last year, I didn't see it. I just didn't see the size, but he's filled in and handled himself the right way. Lane Kiffin is flying in to watch him this coming weekend over at Ole Miss. So a national brand, and UCLA has made him an offer as well. So we did that on Friday. Saturday, Claudia said, let's go hike. So Claudia does On the Rocks here on the site, and she's really good at it. She's really good at hiking. I, on the other hand, do not do On the Rocks. I like to hike, but I like hiking that's like flat. So I guess it's walking. Claudia's like, oh, there's this waterfall. I'm like, oh, it didn't look half bad. And I'm huffing and I'm puffing. It's on my Instagram if you want to check it out. She just killed me. And it starts raining. It starts pouring. And Claudia is like 4'2". She is tiny. And like if I put my elbow on her head, I have to like lean all the way down. And she's just this drenched rat. No offense. She's not a rat, but she's just drenched. And I'm at this elevation and I'm just about ready to think she's going to have to carry me down on her back because I'm just out of it. My new knees, my double knee replacements are hanging in there. So we go do that. And then we went to Tommy's Burgers in Provo. Those of you that are from Southern California, you know that Tommy's kills it or it can kill you one way or the other. And fortunately, Claudia just destroyed a Tommy's hot dog like I've never seen her destroy one. It was fun. Went to the game. ASU was terrible. The people at Provo were great. The BYU marching band played the ASU fight song. Not to mock them, but it was, we want to welcome our friends from Tempe for the game. You know, they pray before the game in the stadium. They have people that pray out loud. Everybody's quiet. Then they play the fight song for their opponent. And this is awesome. And it was packed. Night game in Provo, packed. And then ASU just didn't show up, man. They crapped the bed. Opening kickoff, fumble, BYU scores. 16 penalties later, 19 penalties called. So 16 penalties accepted. So it was 19 total. And we didn't get out there until like 1 a.m. And then we're working on a documentary as well that we shot around up in Provo. So we worked a lot. And Claudia did great work. Thanks to Santan Ford and Tim Hovick. Tim was up there. And we hung out with him too. So on the other side, the Wilner Hotline. John Wilner, every week, he breaks it down in the Pac-12. None better than John. That's next. And then Eric Sorensen, he did the triple over the weekend. He was at Hamilton's amazing, amazing national story comeback. He was at the NAU U of A game as a fan and then was at the Cardinals yesterday. So I'll have Eric on to talk about that too. Stay with us. John Wilner now with us. The Wilner Hotline. Knows all, tells all around the Pac-12 conference. If you don't follow John, what are you thinking? It's at Wilner Hotline. Give him a follow. Great content's up on the site as well. All right. So I could go down the line about all the stuff in the conference, but I want to circle back to Clay Helton's departure and James Franklin now in a position after beating Auburn. And in a couple of weeks, you have Penn State and Iowa and James Franklin right in the middle of the USC head coaching job, if I'm to believe the people whose opinions I respect. Where are you at on all of this with USC coming open and what it may mean for this conference, John?
Well, I thought it was the smart move for SC to make the change after the Stanford game. It was a little surprising because we have been lulled to sleep by the inaction of USC's administration. But that was a previous administration. You know, right now they're on top of it, the people they've got in charge right now. And I think they gave themselves a chance to kind of salvage their season, to have a better coaching search, because now they've got much more time to evaluate what they need and who's out there. And it is a huge deal for the Trojans, and it's a huge deal for the conference, right? These next, you know, 2-3 years, there are a lot of big issues that have to be solved. And USC headed in the right direction would help the Pac-12's leverage on any number of fronts.
Yeah, starting with the television contract. I think, you know, Fans want to see on Saturdays the winning and losing, but television contracts being improved so you're not on a network that isn't even shown in cities where you have schools, where you actually do have visibility, that translates to recruiting, so you don't see guys that take off for Alabama or Clemson, which has become probably the biggest issue with this conference overall. So this is far-reaching and does impact everybody. If USC is good, it's going to help the conference.
It's going to help. I mean, just look at the Big Ten, right? If Ohio State was going 7-5, 8-4 on a regular basis, we would view the Big Ten as, you know, a lot differently than we do right now. So USC is crucial. Just like, I mean, UCLA is crucial in basketball, too. There's no doubt about that. And the more often, more and more these days, you know, the way media consumption is working is the networks, whether it's CBS or Fox or ESPN, they want to pay for the marquee matchups, right? It's not about how many cable homes you've got in your footprint anymore, which is one reason the Pac-12 didn't think it needed to expand. It is about the premium matchups that people will pay for. And you know, you need big brands. You need really successful teams to get those premium matchups. That's why the SEC wanted Texas and Oklahoma. And USC will bring that. USC's got a national following, and they can bring big ratings to games if they're playing well.
Yeah, and to localize that, Arizona State playing at BYU and national televised game the other night is great. Playing against Southern Utah and UNLV, that's got to stop.
Well, certainly, I mean, there's not, you know, there's this yin-yang, right? Because you want to schedule opponents that are going to sell tickets and they're going to, you know, help your program's reputation. But you also want wins, right? That's the coaches are always pushing. They want a couple of cupcakes for the wins. We'll see where the Pac-12's general scheduling philosophy ends up falling after this alliance situation is settled. Because what I think is going to happen is they're going to end up moving down to 8 conference games. And every year you're going to play 2 games against the Big Ten and the ACC. And then you're going to have 2 slots available. Most schools will probably take one of those slots for a cupcake, and then one of those slots for a BYU or, you know, a Utah State, something like that.
It's interesting, John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline, of the names that are out there early on in the USC job. From what you can ascertain, do they want to go with pro guy? Do they want to go with analyst who's sitting in a studio like Bob Stoops? Do they want to go with the James Franklin? What's your early read on it?
I think that they want 2 things. First and foremost, they want someone who can really connect with players, but they also want somebody who's been a head coach, right? They cannot, you know, you hear Eric Bieniemy's name or Tony Elliott, the Clemson offensive coordinator who's from LA. If you're going to hire a coach who's never been a head coach before, there's an added layer of risk. SC is not in position to take a risk. They got to get this right. And if you hire somebody who has been a successful head coach, you got a much better chance of getting it right. But it's also tricky because, you know, you got to decide how motivated is Bob Stoops, right? How hungry is he? Because they need energy. So you got to find a successful head coach who is still hungry. And there's not as many of those guys, you know, and somebody who's willing to live in L.A. We'll see. I mean, it's a great job. It's one of the 5 or 6 best coaching jobs in college football, but it's a little complicated. So they probably need all the time they can get.
John Wilner with us. Before I get you out of here, let's bang through a few of the matchups this week. So the disaster that is the University of Arizona and Jed Fish, now they have Oregon on the road. They're a 27-point underdog, and they have UCLA the following week. John, it's not too early to start looking at this saying this longest losing streak in college football may go through this season now, right?
Yeah. I mean, as I find that I would never have guessed, right? I thought that they were going to be a little bit better. Certainly didn't think that they could lose to NAU. But yeah, it could go on for a while. I mean, that Colorado game is that like October 16th, something like that, mid-October? That's the game you circle for Arizona to get a win. I mean, it may be 3-2, but they got a chance to win that game, right? I mean, this week, I saw that line, and Eugene, I thought, oh, that must be the first half line, 27 points, right? He's got a lot. I mean, he certainly they need talent, but they've settled some things with their quarterback, with their scheme. I mean, can't remember the last time I saw a team switch, not only switch quarterbacks twice, but go to a third quarterback and bring him in for the first time in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that.
Arizona State, we've talked about this. I am of the opinion that Herm won't be back one way or the other at the end of this season. Are you in that space with me? I forget. Are you still in the way? Yeah. So we're both in the agreement that there's going to be a change here one way or the other. And obviously the other night didn't help. 16 penalties, him falling on the sword, saying it starts with the head coach. With USC's job open, it hurts Arizona State, doesn't it, in terms of having your guy in place while USC is out there? Or you and I both know there's the agent behind the scenes, and if somebody were to ask, have you spoken to this? Well, no, I haven't. Well, yeah, it's because your agent has. So does it hurt Arizona State to just say, okay, we're going to keep at it? Or is it just time to say at the end of the year we're going to make a change? I know you can't do that publicly with the fans, but behind the scenes, John, I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, there could be a lot going on behind the scenes the next couple of months. Some of that will be affected by probably the NCAA situation, right? Because no coach is going to want to take the job. I mean, if Herm does decide this is it, or if they decide that this is it, you know, no new coach is going to want to take that job until they understand what they're walking into with the sanctions. And so they could be, you know, have their hands tied a little bit depending on how quickly the NCAA moves. So it could be a very complicated situation. And if they do make a change, if the NCAA thing is bad, you know, you also have to wonder exactly who's going to make the hire, right? I mean, are they going to say to Ray Anderson, go ahead, hire the coach just like you did before? I don't know. It could end up getting to be a little bit complicated. But I'm with you. I don't see, no matter how the NCAA thing works out, how the season works out, this has got to be it for Herm.
Okay, Colorado comes here, and I can't help but chuckle a little bit seeing Mel Tucker 3-0 up at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And it looks like Colorado is just headed in the wrong direction. What is going on with the Buffalo program from your view?
Well, I mean, they don't have a quarterback. And in that regard, they're not alone in the Pac-12. I mean, that's one of the bigger problems the conference is facing, I think, is the quarterback play generally is not very good. Their defense is not bad. I mean, their defense is a 6-win defense. They're just bad on offense. They've scored one touchdown in the last two games. Their offensive line's not very good. Their skill position talent's not very good. Their quarterback's not very good. They got a lot of work to do, right? I think Mel Tucker did a lot of good in his one year there. But they are several recruiting cycles away on offense from being, you know, a capable team, at least on that side of the ball.
Okay. A couple games of interest, quick thumbnail, Stanford, UCLA. What do you see this week?
Real interesting game now, right? Stanford showing some life. I mean, I think that this is going to tell us if the Bruins are legit or not. Legit in terms of staying in the top 25 all season, giving the conference a second team to kind of carry the banner. And it's also going to tell us if Stanford is ready to maybe – I mean, second place in the North is wide open. So we'll know if Stanford has a shot at that.
Oregon State, just because of what their record looks like against USC – usually that's blowout city. Is it the same case? Or do you think, you know what, Brad, the Beavers are actually doing something?
I think that they're all right. I do. And I think they may have found a quarterback, right? It took them a couple games, but they seem to have settled on someone. And we don't know how SC is going to react week to week, right? I mean, with the coaching change, and then you saw, I mean, that game against Washington State, they were down, then way up. Are they going to change quarterbacks? I mean, I think that game is interesting only because everything about USC is fascinating right now.
That is John Wilner, and you can find him at the Wilner Hotline, of course, on Twitter at Wilner Hotline and on the website as well. Thanks, John, for the visit.
Thanks a ton, Brett.
We're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Eric is with us. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing with this company. We just cleared 10 years, by the way. Can you believe that?
It's amazing. Man. Congratulations.
10. Congratulations to you. You know, it's fun.
Happy to be a part of it.
So you are probably the only one. Do you know of anybody else that did what you did over the weekend that was at Hamilton on Friday night for the amazing national story comeback, that Saturday was at NAU for the amazing story of the Jacks taking down the Wildcats, or maybe not amazing, and was at the Cardinals game, and you were as a fan at NAU, just so full disclosure. Do you know anybody else, or is it just you?
I've had some 2-for-3s, but I haven't had many or any 3-for-3s. So as of right now, I think I'm the only one that was at all three, but pretty incredible football weekend for sure.
Okay, so let's go back through it. I'll start on Friday night. Are you thinking, okay, I got to pack up my stuff and get out of here? Because you're shooting the game. You're taking it all in. Are you like just starting to get ready to go out on the field? What was that like? Because there's what, a minute? Well, I'll just let you walk me through what happened at the end.
Well, truthfully, Brad, I was thinking about leaving the game early in the fourth quarter because Hamilton was showing no signs of life. It was 24-7. But for a nationally televised game, the game was actually moving pretty quick because there wasn't a lot of scoring. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I guess I'll stick around. And a couple things from that game were my biggest takeaways that aren't getting talked about nearly enough. Last year, Hamilton had all kinds of kicking issues against Chandler in the Open Championship.
Yep.
Okay. A transfer junior kicker from Hamilton kicked at the time was a fairly meaningless 46-yard field goal to make it 24-10. But that really started the whole snowball to the comeback. And another thing Mike Sadepski and his staff did, which was really under the radar, they did a great job managing the clock, and they didn't burn any of their timeouts until they actually needed them in the last minute. Mm-hmm. So those are two factors that a lot of people aren't talking about, not to take anything away from Nico Marchio. He was unbelievable, completely different quarterback than I saw last year, but a storybook ending for Hamilton and a great, great exclamation point for Arizona high school football.
Okay, so I'm up in Provo getting ready for the ASU disaster, and what struck me is the special teams coaching. You know, I saw Hamilton the week before, and their kicker basically was the guy that said, we're not going to lose to Castile, and he bombed a couple of kicks. I'm like, wow, they really have a kicker. And to execute the onside kick not once but twice, I'm not going to say Gorman didn't know what they were doing, but that really speaks to the coaching of Hamilton as well.
And a little luck. I mean, the chances of recovering one onside kick in high school is probably what, 35%? But to get two back-to-back is pretty improbable, especially, you know, Bishop Gorman, it has, from what Cody Cameron told me on Friday, up to 25 Division I players on their roster, and not just like NAU-type kids, but like Power 5 players. Unbelievable story and an unbelievable comeback. But yeah, Hamilton did great on special teams as well, obviously.
Okay, so you're there and you're just blown away by it. You put something up on the site. Saturday, you're just going to go be a fan. Did you have any inkling? You're like, you know what? I'm either going to see U of A break their losing skid, or any you're going to pull off the improbable. What were your expectations going into that? And when it hit you, it's like, you know what? This is actually going to happen.
I checked the line Saturday morning. It was 26.5. And I thought to myself, U of A is going to win this game, but they're not going to cover that 26.5. And my good friend Bob, who is engaged to Brandy Aguilar, who is a part of the staff, is an NAU alum. He's a huge NAU fan. And every time we go to U of A, he's like, when they win, we're storming the field. It's kind of like our little inside joke. When they win, we're storming the field. And so, of course, Saturday morning, I got down there, and he's like, oh, I'm glad to see you wore tennis shoes. When we win tonight and shock the world, we're going to storm the field. And, of course, like, we got a good laugh out of that. But it was interesting, Brad, because U of A was dominant, but they were only ahead 13-0. And as soon as NAU had that pick six, I think everyone in the crowd was like, what's going on? It's 13-7. It's halftime. There was probably the stadium was maybe 40% full, which shows you that there is just zero interest in U of A football. And one side note, for all the people that follow U of A football on Twitter, if you're going to put up a picture of Jed Fish and the new Pac-12 commissioner and put the goat emoji above that, don't do that when you're 0-2 going in AU and then you're 0-3. And the tweet still isn't deleted. Like, what are you doing? You're 0-3. You can't put the goat emoji up for a college football coach that's never won a game. Okay, continue.
So did you storm the field?
Did not storm the field. But like Friday night, Saturday was one of those like shooting star, you see a meteor type situation. Yeah. I mean, we're probably never going to see that again, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But it kind of shows you, you know, where U of A is, especially considering, Brad, NAU played three quarterbacks on Saturday against U of A, and they ended the game with a true freshman, 6-foot, 185-pound, true freshman quarterback from Texas. So great for NAU. And for U of A, I mean, I don't even know where you start.
I was hoping you would storm the field and give me the, two big security guards tackle me down at the 20.
Discretion is the better part of valor on that for sure. So.
All right. So then Sunday, you go to cover the Cardinal game. You write on it. And that game had so many twists and turns. And were you like beat up mentally just going into that game? Like, man, I've seen an unbelievable thing Friday night. Saturday I was at NAU. I got to get my game face on for this one. And then it goes all these different directions.
I got back from Tucson at about 2 a.m. yesterday morning, which was Sunday. I slept until about 7:30 and then started my day. So I was a little bit tired going out to the Cardinals. But it was neat because it finally had the feel of an NFL regular season game, especially when you consider walking through the parking lot. There were so many of the opposing fans. I put on Twitter, Brad, I've never seen so many Adam Thielen jerseys in my life. I also saw Dante Culpepper and some other classics. But from the opening kick, you just had the sense after that second play from scrimmage when the Vikings went up 7-0 that it was going to be a shootout. And when the over came in almost at halftime for that game, I knew like this was probably going to be a pretty cool ending.
Yeah. Well, and then you're in the mindset of he's going to make this kick. This kick's nothing.
For sure. For sure. Because he made a 52-yarder that would have been good from like 55 earlier in the game. And it just kind of shows like the NFL is – it's kind of unpredictable. Like they're pros, you know, but they can also mess up from time to time too.
Okay, let me bounce back just on a couple quick things. I'll get you out of here, and I appreciate your time. Eric was at all three. He was at Hamilton. So I'll start there. Does a win like Hamilton's Friday night propel them mentally to believe that they can finally beat Chandler down the street? I know it's early in the season. You may not have seen Chandler as of yet. I don't know. But do you believe that this will be one of those, it's not just a win on national TV that the whole high school community across the country is buzzing about?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Bishop Gorman, as of right now, is a way better team than Chandler. Like that, this Chandler team now will be a lot better at the end of the year. But looking back on it, Brad, Hamilton should have beat Chandler in the championship last year. They should have. And this isn't your classic Hamilton from when they won 7 straight championships type roster. But this one has a little bit more grit to it. And Friday's win, I think, is going to go a long ways for that team's confidence.
Okay, Chris Ball, I know it's winning one game and they lost their first couple. But is Chris Ball someone you just look at and say, you know, he's getting things turned up there and there's going to be some people come knocking on his door?
Maybe, but it's going to take time. I mean, what he took over wasn't good, much like what Jed Fish took over wasn't good at all.
Right.
But this is the type of win because NAU is recruiting against U of A on some kids in the Valley. Like that's just kind of the way it is. NAU doesn't necessarily get the same kids Arizona does and vice versa. But for NAU, when Flugrad and Coach Ball and the other coaches on that staff that do such a good job recruiting the Valley, all the state for that matter, go knocking on doors and say, oh yeah, by the way, we went down to Tucson to beat U of A. I mean, a lot of people took notice of that win late Saturday night.
Yeah, and I don't know the rest of U of A schedule. I just know the next 2 weeks are Oregon and UCLA. So I have to assume that they're not going to win a game this year. early on. I'm just watching how that thing has imploded. And I knew Kevin Sumlin had turned it into the worst program in all of Division I football. And I'm not overstating that, but it really has turned into that. And
there were one last thing, Brad, I thought there were some real head scratching decisions from the U of A staff. So they played Will Plummer. He was up and down. I don't think he played terrible, but he didn't score points. He didn't get the ball in the end zone. They went to Jordan McLeod on the final drive of the game, and he happened to go 6-7 and lead the team all the way down the field to score a touchdown and put them in position to tie the game. That was one thing that I thought was kind of a head scratcher. Like, why didn't you make that switch sometime in the third quarter? And another thing was NAU could not stop Drake Anderson, the transfer from Northwestern.
Right.
And he was averaging 6 yards a carry, but he only carried the ball 12 times. So you had something there that was working and you just didn't really go to it enough. It just is watching back that film on Sunday had to be just nails on a chalkboard for U of A.
And the Cardinals aren't going to go undefeated, are they?
No, they're not. Yeah. They're not. They got trapped. They have a big trap game this weekend. Big, you know, you're coming off this emotional win and you're going all the way across the country to play a rookie head coach and rookie quarterback.
Yep.
You're going to be favored and
10 a.m. You know, game.
10 yeah. 10 a.m. game. But yeah, we're just playing the Jags. It's all good. Just be careful on that one. Just be careful.
All right. Get out of here. Good stuff. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
There's Eric Sorensen. We're back with more after this timeout.